This morning we just have a few verses from Ephesians 5, 1-5, one of Paul's letters. Do as God does. After all, you are his, dear children. Let love be your guide. Christ loves us and offered his life for us as a sacrifice that pleases God. You are God's people, so don't let it be said that any of you are immoral or indecent or greedy. Don't be dirty or foolish or use filthy words. Instead, say how thankful you are. Being greedy, indecent, and immoral is just another way of worshipping idols. You can be sure that people who behave in this way will never be part of the kingdom that belongs to God in Christ. Amen.
Thank you for this wonderful privilege. I always feel very special. The sermon subject today is really very relevant to me because, and I didn't work out how many years it was, but in 1959, and I know a lot of you wouldn't even know what 1959 was, it was a good year because John 15 turned my life around in a very special way. And of course, every time I read it now, I'm reminded of how good God is. So thank you, Trent, for this morning. As a senior, one of the temptations or dangers of getting old is not just arthritis and sore knees, but it is the fact that it's almost a danger, I would say, to be satisfied with where we are. Righto, I'm here. Oh, now I can relax and just wait for the end. You can't do that. You've got to keep growing. And that's where you people come in. You are the family that we have, we old folk. And this is not meant to be a sermon, but Thursdays we have a home group or life group, as we're called it, and there are a lot of life groups. And that has been to me like digging up a veggie patch and putting a whole lot of new fertiliser and new dirt and all sorts of things in it to make it grow, because that's what happens in life works. So if you're not in one and if you're getting on, it's time to go to the spot where you can be given some help in the garden. And now, we were studying accidentally last Thursday night, I am. We're going to start on the I Ams of Jesus, but this was the original I Am. And we find in Exodus 3 that Moses was given a really big task. And he said to God, well, you know, this is all very well, but who am I going to tell the people sent me? And God said, just tell them, I Am has sent you. And we are the sent ones. We've been talking about that all year. For 2 years, I think. We are the sent ones, and the wonderful thing is that I Am has sent us. And I just want to thank God today for our church family and pray for you. Father, we just can't put into words the wonderful privilege that we have of meeting together here. We thank you for the freedom that we have. We thank you for the joy that we have in the friendships we make. We thank you for the teachings that we get. We thank you for the responsibilities you give us. And today, Lord, I just pray for each member of our family. We read about special events and things in our church news. But Father, as individuals, we just need you so much to be teaching us and leading us and making us grow. We'd never reach a stage where we stop growing. If we do, that's very dangerous. Lord, just help us to have a thirst in our hearts for you. Just that desire to know what your word is saying and to walk with you day by day, to have a growing relationship with you that is so precious. And today, Lord, I just ask for the members of our family who are not well. There's quite a few of them, Lord, and families who are under pressure. And today I just pray that they will realise that I Am is with them. Father, we just thank you so much for our children. And we've been talking about the fruits of the Spirit this morning. Father, through your Spirit, may all our children see in us the fruits of the Spirit. May we be reflecting your love in ways that will draw people to you. Lord, we think of our missionaries, and Lloyd has mentioned some of them. We do ask for your protection over them, and we pray, Lord, that their walk with you will be deeper and deeper each day, and that Jesus will be proclaimed where they are. Lord, we think of the things that are coming on in our church life, and particularly our annual meeting in 2 weeks' time. Father, I just ask for your guidance. We thank you so much for our leadership and for the way they have led us over the years. Father, just guide us, direct us, and put on the hearts of those that you want to be in leadership positions. Father, we just want your name uplifted and glorified in our midst. And this morning, Father, again, we just give ourselves over to you. Give us listening ears, hearts that will receive and obey. And we will go from this place knowing that I Am is with us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Could you turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to John chapter 15? We're reading today from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, so that you will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you. This is my command: love each other.
Morning, friends. Ready to go? Spend some time in this passage. If you haven't been with us, then just catching you up to speed. We've been looking and thinking about being members of the body, and that is the body of Christ. So we've been thinking about membership to Jesus and membership to Jesus' church and what that looks like here at ABCH. Now, we do need some more members to do multimedia. So if you're good at that, it'd be great. I've just transitioned from there and I'm not the best at that. I'd love to hear if you're keen or can help out and coordinate and bring some cohesion to that. That'd be great. Jesus here, when we turn to John, so we've been looking at John 14 through to 17 and Jesus' word to his disciples, and this is his last word, his commissioning word to them, his final word before he leaves, the 11. Now, hopefully this is my final word, and I did feel very loved by a little member of our church the other week, because Fifi sidled up to me outside and said, Pastor Trent, she says, I don't want Pastor Tim to come. It's like, he's already here. What do you mean, Fifi? And he's okay. It's okay for him to be here. And going on in her little mind was, last time Pastor came, another pastor left. So James and Aaron went. And so she thought I was going somewhere. And so I felt very loved by little Fifi. Isn't that sweet? Jesus here in John 15, which we'll focus in, says, love one another as I have loved you. Last week, David shared with us so clearly about dying to self and allowing the Spirit in you to live and to obey Jesus' word. And today, in a similar way, we think about dying to self and allowing the Spirit to show us to love how God wants us to love. We're going to focus in on the first 17 verses. David, he covers everything, doesn't he? David covered this when we looked at this in our other series. But we're coming back to it today, and David covered it in our stool series when we looked particularly at bearing fruit. Go bear fruit. Remember that stool? Or say I. Okay, yes. Or remember, except for our guests who are here. It's good to have you with us. But our focus today will be these first 17 verses, and it's a famous statement, as Elaine has said. It's the I am. How many I am statements are there in John? There are seven, that's right, and says it twice here. He repeats it, I am, verse 1, verse 5. This is the last I am statement in John's Gospel. And it's a famous metaphor. This vine image is a famous image, isn't it, really? It's a famous image, and you see lots of them when I was in Israel. Vines everywhere. And why do they have vines? What's their purpose? Oh, good, yeah, they're into that. They produce fruit, and some of the fruit can make wine. And what else do? They provide shade at times. So lots of houses we went past had a vine over, you know, the pergola. And so it would provide shade because it's hot there and there's lots of sun, and it provides fruit as well. In the ancient world, and this ancient metaphor, which it is, the Old Testament image is of Israel being a vine. And that was a symbol of Israel. Now today I said the focus isn't going to be on fruit, but it's going to be this idea of remaining and abiding, which Jesus repeats many times. Remain in the vine, we're going to think about remaining in the word and remaining in his love. If you've got an outline, that might be helpful for you to write things down, or it's got it there printed for you, the word on the back. But we'll start firstly with remaining. When I went to in Israel, there are lots of vines, as I said, and Jesus says there's lots of olive groves and there's lots of vineyards, and Jesus says to remain in the vine. I just want to show you a photo quickly. That's standing in a vineyard, an old vineyard, which they date back to the first century. I'm standing in the wine press bit, so they used to tread on the grapes there. And it'll come down, the wine would seep down the rocks into that pit. This is a first century one, and if Nazareth isn't really that big and maybe has 200 people in it, guess who would have known this vineyard? Yeah, and who lived there? Oh, Jesus would have, thank you very much. The right Sunday school answer, well done. Most probably Jesus knew this vineyard. But friends, this is a familiar story. As I just go back there in Jerusalem, they move, and when Jesus has had Last Supper with his followers, which happens really in John 13, they go from the upper room, and we moved from the upper room there, and that wall there, there's a valley that goes along there, which is called the Kidron Valley, and goes up to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus had moved from the upper room. He was heading through the Kidron Valley, and possibly he walked or was standing under a vineyard, a vine, or he was in a vineyard when he says these words to his friends. He says to them, remain. And some versions have abide in me. Remain in the vine, is what he's saying. And Old Testament Israel, as I said, was an image of the vine, and he is saying, I am the true vine. So he is the vine that all the vines on the Old Testament images are pointing to. And he is the true vine who actually bears fruit and remains in the Father. Now, a contrast image to this, and if you have time this afternoon, or take time to read John 15 and read Ezekiel 15. It's only a short passage. It's a short Old Testament passage. Ezekiel 15 has a contrast image of the vine, and I challenge you to go there and read it sometime. But abiding or staying, remaining, means stay near and stay in Jesus. Now, you can stay near, but actually not be in. Actually be near, but still be dead. It's like dead wood that you have in a fruit tree. Brendan shared with us as we met in leadership in our little life group this week of a fruit tree which had dead wood in it and wasn't bearing any fruit. So you cut that out and you allow space for growth. Well, in an interesting way, Judas had cut himself off from Jesus at this point, and the Father had cut the dead wood out, so to speak, and there is 11 left, right? 11 of the disciples there. In 1 John 2, he reminds us, and John reminds us, that they're ones that did not remain. He uses the same word, but they went out from us. Some people call them Christian apostates. In 1 Timothy, he says they renounced, or it's people who renounce instead of remain in the faith. He says they have abandoned the faith. Well, here the 11 remain, and you know what? There's 11 forms of the word remain in this passage. So it's like one claim or call of remain for each of the disciples that are there with him. And that is, if you incorporated in him, you're in the vine, you're part of it, you're a true disciple, and true disciples are preserved to the end. Don't be afraid that you're going to turn into wood. If you're in him, you're actually preserved to the end. Jesus says earlier on, he says in chapter 6, my Father gives me all that come to me, and I will never drive them away. It's a great reassurance, isn't it? If you come to him, you'll never be driven away. In chapter 10, he says, all those that have been given to me, they won't be snatched out of my hand. And that's Jesus saying that, right? So you can have confidence. Have a look in verse 4, and we'll read along and see what he says there to his followers. He says, remain in me, and I will remain in you, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, do you catch it? Do you get what he's calling us to? He says it plenty of times. But what does it mean then? As we think about it, what does it mean to remain in him? What does that look like? Well, it means welcome Jesus. It means receiving Jesus. It actually means trusting Jesus. And it means staying in that place of trust. Now, we did a series on alone series of the Reformation. This is faith alone. Remain in. Keep faith. You come into the vine by actually trusting, by believing, by trusting Jesus, trusting his love, which is talked about here, laying down his life, his death and his resurrection, and you remain in the vine by trusting. A branch is totally dependent upon the vine and the trunk of the vine because it gives the life-giving sap. Now, apart from Jesus, the vine, you can't do anything, nothing, he says. So the Christian life, right, is very much about what? Trusting. It's a life of trust. John would say his word would be believe. And I want to tell you a story about a man, Blondin. Has anyone heard of Blondin? People, and he called people to believe in him. Now, Blondin was in 1859. That was 100 years before when you pointed out today. 1859, Charles Blondin, if you heard him, he was a Frenchman, and he used to walk tightropes. And one of his famous acts was he set up a tightrope that stretched 370 metres across Niagara Falls, 55 metres above it. He then proceeded to walk out on it. He walked out in a sack in it just to show off a little bit. Then he got the stilts out. And he also pushed a wheelbarrow out along it. Out to the middle, turned around, and back he comes. He says to the crowd and all those people there, "Who thinks I can push a person across?" They all go, "Yes, you can." And he says, "Well, who's getting in?" They all take a step back. Actually, trust means you get in the barrow. Blondin called people to have faith in him. Jesus calls people to trust and have faith in him. It's get in the Jesus barrow. And when you're in there, don't stand up and wobble around or try to get out. Stay in the barrow, okay? Jesus calls us to remain in him. If you've done that, I want you to share with someone sometime today what age you did that. What age you got in the Jesus barrow. Now, there's different ages and different stages and different stories, but it'd be lovely to share what age it was for you. If you aren't in the Jesus barrow, and I really challenge you to think and consider that today, have you got in the barrow? It's a real challenge for us to think about. You can hang around, you know, you can hang around church, you can hang around and cheer for Jesus, but you haven't actually got in his barrow. And so today, if you haven't, here's a chance to really think about that. Now, the Christian life is about trust. Trust that the silver that starts showing up in the side of your head is bringing wisdom. I had a haircut this week. I noticed a few things. And I noticed that it wasn't red, but apparently we get red hair in heaven, don't we? That's what David said last week, didn't we? But trust is an everyday thing that we do. Now, I had a full week this week, and I preached on Friday at a youth thing, and then yesterday I was at a men's entry. We'll see. Riding home on a bike at 2 o'clock, there were still some words to come for today, and I had to trust that God would give me them. You can work out whether he gave me them or not. But it's an everyday thing. You have to trust that God will give you the words when you go to speak to a work colleague about Jesus, when you go to mention something about your faith, that he'll give you the words. Trust that he'll give you the words when you speak to someone in the street. It's an everyday thing. You need to trust that your non-believing spouse can be transformed in Jesus' timing. You need to trust that if you've got a sick spouse, that Jesus can heal them. It may not be in your timing, but it'll be in his timing. I said to the youth on Friday night that you need to trust Jesus with your sexual history and your future purity. And if your body is aging, and Elaine testified a little bit to that this morning, or if your parents are aging and they know the Lord Jesus, you need to trust that he is preparing a place for you. John 14, wonderful. You can sing it with me? Later. Okay, we'll sing it later. Jesus, he says, trust God, trust also in me. So what are you going to trust Jesus with this week? Now, there's space if you need to write something down. Do that if you need to remind yourself or put something in your phone. Maybe here's a chance to think about, what do I need to entrust to Jesus this week, heading into this week? To remain in him. You can call it out loud if you want. If not, you'll share it with someone later. But we'll move on from that to thinking, remaining in the Word. So remaining in the vine to now remaining in his Word. Because remaining in him is staying in his Word. And this is a very practical way that he gives us here. Now the Word is big in John, isn't it? He starts off with, in the beginning was the Word was God. We know that's Jesus. And the Word became flesh. That's in the first part of John. In John 8, there's a famous part of John. You can finish this line. It says, the truth will set you... Good, it says it twice in John 8. But before that verse, Jesus says to the Jews that believed in him, he said, abide in my word to them. And in verse 3 here, as you look at verse 3 with me, he says, you are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. That is, this Greek word is logos, the word. In verse 7, go down to 7, he says, if you remain in me and my word remains in you. His word is the living and the life-giving sap that flows through the branches. And so how do we remain in His word? How do we do that? It's easy to say, remain in His word, but how does that work out? What does that mean? Well, it must mean treasuring His word, mustn't it? Must mean treasuring His word. Now, sometimes some of us here treasure our morning coffee. Sorry to pick on the coffee drinkers here. Maybe for me it's treasuring a morning surf more than His word. Sometimes we can fall into treasuring things more than His word. Maybe it's treasuring a morning walk along the beach, whatever it is. But if His word is the life-giving sap, if it's the daily bread, if it's the heavenly nectar we need, if it's the living water, if it's sweeter than honey, we've got to treasure it, don't we? You say yes at this point. And friends, one way we can treasure it is by memorizing it. We've been doing that as a group together, so sing along with me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I wouldn't hold you. Going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, prepare a place for you. Come on, to be with me, so you could also be where I am. Good, we've been learning that together. And we've been learning the fruit of the Spirit this morning is love, joy, peace, patience, and self-control. If you get lost in the middle, you can just go, and self-control. Memorizing His word. We can do it by song is a really helpful thing. But also to show that we treasure His word is we can listen to it preached. You can listen to sermons. You can share His word with others. And how are you going to live and dwell in His word this week? Guess what? There's space. You can write an action of how you could do that. Maybe a challenge which you want to set for yourself, a goal which you want to put down for yourself, how you can remain in His word. Well, the third thing Jesus calls us to is to remain in His love. Now, there's three forms of love in Greek. There's eros, where we get the word erotic kind of stuff from, and that is the passion or the fire of love, which can obviously burn out at times, can't it? And you often see this on a wedding day. The couple are lovesick couple, aren't they? There's another word which is used is philos, which is the love that you have between friends or in friendship or in family. And often you see this in an old married couple, the friendship and love they have for one another. But there's another word in Greek which is agape or agape. And this word means total love. It's love that when people have it, it transforms them and it overtakes you. Now, what do you think, which word Jesus used here? Say it with me. Agape. In verse 9, have a look. He says, as the Father has loved me, there's a word, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments, remain in his love. You know, it keeps repeating it here. It's seven times it's mentioned here in this section. It's like the perfect love mentioned seven times. He says, my love, that's Jesus' love, that's the total love, that's a love that invades, that's a love that controls and takes over. And when people experience it, it changes them. And there's a great chain of love action here, did you see? The Father and Him remaining in the Father's love and Jesus calling us to remain in His love. And then we can love others and it allows us to love others. It's a great chain of love. But let me point out here, only Jesus can love you in the fullest way you need to be loved. Sometimes we put pressure and expectations on others to love us only the way that God can love us. And so I want to say, stop putting pressure on people and stop putting pressure on other members to actually love you, because only Jesus can love you in the most fullest certain way that you need to be loved. And it's amazing when you free people up from that pressure, how loved you actually can feel. Sometimes we expect people to read us and to know how we are meant to be loved and expect that they know what's our love language. But maybe we need to make it easy for each other and communicate that, and easy for our community care and for other members and for our pastoral care to not put expectations on others or to share with others how best they can actually love you. But just because we can't love each other in the fullest way doesn't exempt us from actually loving one another. Jesus actually commands us, he calls us. And we actually can love each other through the Spirit that he's put in us and listening to the Spirit that he's put in us. We can love each other in a way that Jesus has loved us. Verse 12, he says what? Have a look with me. I've got to find it. Verse 12, my commandment is this, love each other as I have loved you. Verse 17, he repeats it. This is my command, love each other. That is agape, one another. That is totally love one another. Now, it's too tall to do ourselves, as I've suggested and said, but we need his Spirit and his Spirit's guidance to actually do that and how to overflow that love. And when I think about that, it's a little bit like those, I don't know if you're a big kid like me and you've been to those water parks and you know those buckets and it has the hose that's filling it up and it's the tilting bucket when it fills up over everything. I kind of think of that. We're going to be filled up like Jesus is the living water who fills our bucket up. And we actually overflow that then onto others and spread it all over them. And it might be a bit inappropriate to be talking about buckets overflowing when we're thinking of drought and farmers, but our people in outback Australia and those that are living in drought need Christian people that can overflow the love of Jesus onto them. That will actually transform them. They'll experience the love of God and they'll be changed. And friends, when that happens, they will never be thirsty. Really, never be thirsty. In the way that Jesus talks about when he talks about in John 4, that lady who comes in, he goes to the well. Living water, come and drink from me and you'll never thirst. At ABCH, we need members that are laying aside themselves and allowing the love of Jesus to fill them up so they can flow onto others. Now, there's 101 ways that we can do that. I want you to think about just one way and maybe even write that down, record that, and that can be your challenge for the week. How are you going to remain in the love of Jesus and how are you going to love someone else that he's put you in fellowship with? Now, there's my challenge for you. Actions to remain. To remain in the trust of him this week, to remain in his word this week, and to remain in his love. I'm going to give you 1 minute and a half if you haven't written anything down, or if you need to gather something in your mind to think about how you do that, and come up with that one thing, or maybe it's the three you've got from each category, and share something with a person around you. If not, if you haven't come up with anything, that's okay. Go now. Share something that God has put on your heart. And then after that, I'm going to wrap that up in prayer. I'm going to give that to the Lord. And then we're going to finish our time together by singing that new song about the new wine and flowing over it, and that call and that new song that we learnt today. Now you've only got 1 minute, so quick, get chatting. Go for it. I want to encourage you now to bring those things to a little close, or you can share them in our time after 11. I'm going to pray and wrap those things in prayer and keep them in prayer. And so I'll ask you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, you've heard the things upon our hearts. You call us to remain in you, the vine. And we want to do that. We want to treasure your word. And we want to remain in your word. Father, we want to remain in the love that you have shown on us, that we sang about. Your love never fails. And Father God, we pray that as we finish our time here, you'll help us to go from here, remaining in the song that you've put on our hearts, in this new song, the new wine. And Father, we ask that you'll bless us and you'll help us to keep accountable to one another, that you'll change us and you will fill us are full with that love that you have for us, that we may overflow on others. And this we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.